When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Ville Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good football Friday, a feel-good Christmas Friday, a feel-good holiday Friday, a feel-good day before vacation Friday. It is here, and we're going to have a fun one today. A couple of feel-good Friday-type things coming up later in the show we will tell you about. A couple of heartwarming things we will be doing today, and we'll also be talking sports and making sophomoric jokes and talking some NFL as well. And last night, it was a really entertaining football game. I was with you. I agreed. You said low-scoring game is going to be a slobber knocker. I said, absolutely. Didn't turn out to be that way with a couple of AFC West teams. And we're going to have a big slate starting. Well, it started last night, but then we got games tomorrow. We got a game tomorrow, full Sunday slate, then Monday as well. So this is it. Buckle up. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I did pick the Chargers to win, but I thought it was going to be on the under.
Yeah.
But I guess a flex Thursday night, you know, guys, you know, don't really want to tackle. I guess that's what it comes down to. And it was a really important second half for Jim Harbaugh and, of course, his Chargers. Now, the interesting thing that came out of last night's game is that the Bengals now have a path to the playoffs.
The Bengals!
All right, so this is what has to happen if the Bengals are going to make the playoffs. And I think they would have to overtake the Chargers. And the way they have to do that is they have to win this weekend against the Browns. And then next week, they play the Broncos. I mean, they'd have to take over
the Broncos. Yes.
And then next week, they play the Broncos. They'd have to beat the Broncos. And then going into the last week of the season, the Bengals would be 8-8. The Broncos would be 9-7. The Broncos play the Chiefs. The Bengals play the Steelers. If the Bengals beat the Steelers and the Broncos lose to the Chiefs, the Bengals would get the number 7 seed in the AFC.
And that's, you know what they say? Team you don't want to play.
Well, yeah, I would say, yeah, you don't
want to play. Team you don't want to play.
Unless you're the opposing quarterback.
Well, that's true, because I mean, they put up a million points. Put up
huge numbers. But I also would say this, that, you know, there's always... It's 17 games, and it would be amazing if the Bengals actually made it, given what they've been through and how they have played.
They've been dead and buried four times already.
It's unbelievable. So they do have a chance, so, and that chance will live as long as they beat the Browns this Sunday. They beat the Browns, then they play the Broncos. So it will live until they play the Broncos.
Right. So I don't know exactly what happened there. I haven't been following the quarterback situation much in Cleveland outside of Jameis Winston's.
Dorian Thompson.
Yeah, I was just going to say. So they got a hyphenated guy in there this week.
They're just throwing guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been a good hyphenated quarterback ever, right? There's never been a guy who's had hyphens in his name who's played well at the quarterback position. Never.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
It's just not going to happen. It's just one of those things. Like if you come into the league with a hyphen, like you got to be really good to be remembered. I can't. Who's the best hyphen player? I can't even tell you. Is it the guy like Josh Hines Allen now, who had to put a hyphen into Hines Allen to be separated from Josh Allen? Josh Allen could be him.
Huh?
Maurice Jones-Drew, actually, he probably is it. He's probably it. But the point is that if you're playing against a guy with a hyphen in his last day quarterback, you're winning. You're killing him. That guy's going to stink.
Well, he was still Cleveland and Cincinnati, you know, and you never know about those games. Boy, man, I was in those games on both sides of it.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite getting beat or the underdog winning. So I know that's a little bit more intense. But, again, late in the season, long season. The Bengals probably feel like, you know, when they go to work today that they got a chance. You know, they're sitting there watching this game last night knowing exactly what had to happen in order for them. And then, of course, at halftime, you have the free kick right there by the Chargers, which, you know, we don't see very often. The last one, I think, was 1976.
Yeah, so right before halftime, it was a 57-yard field goal.
Yeah, from the 47-yard, which was the line of scrimmage because it was a penalty. So
right,
there was
off a tee.
I mean, which was it off a tee?
He did hold it. Okay, all right. Yeah. He did hold it. Yeah,
and it's from the line of scrimmage.
I think
Al Michaels initially thought that they had to line up in field goal formation, and they had 7 yards. No, it's a free kick. It's a wide open free kick, and it's a play that actually, you practice. I remember practicing it pretty much 12 out of the 14 years that I played. We practiced it.
Yeah, and you wonder how many more field goals would be made if you could just do that with no snap and no rush and just guys just kicking. Because, you know, when you talk about, you know, he was making it from 70 yards at warm-ups. Okay, warm-ups.
A free kick right there. That would, if you had, like, the kid that kicks for Dallas.
Yeah, Aubrey.
You could probably do it from your own 40-yard line with him.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, well, indoors especially.
Yes.
I mean, that was a weird one.
Amazing thing to watch last night. And the other amazing thing to watch last night, I'm telling you, this Carl Anthony Towns went off last night.
Yeah, I mean, that was, of course, you got DiVincenzo and Randall in the storyline and Carl Anthony Towns and this
Carl
team.
Anthony Towns didn't miss a three-point shot
It was a laugher. It was a laugher. They beat him up. Of course, you know, it wouldn't have meant much if you had like a Timberwolves win and people would have maybe made a big deal out of it. You're a Nets fan or a Celtics fan would have laughed at the Knicks. The Knicks did the exact opposite of that. I mean, they wiped the floor with that team and Towns was the star. I mean, and there's really nothing about the Knicks that scares me outside of health at this point. Like, I know they'll be a better defensive team in the postseason. They're going to score. It's just staying healthy.
They'll get Mitchell Robinson back in January. You see who started last night?
Yeah, I know. Precious.
Yeah,
I know.
When you need an uptick, you need a little attitude adjustment. Throw Precious to chew out.
He's like smelling salts.
I'm telling you,
in a way, you know, get your senses going. Get you going.
I'm all about that, man.
You know what I'm loving?
Starts what?
You know what's going on right now?
What's going on?
I know exactly what's going on.
What's going on?
Fleegs. Al probably doesn't know what's going on, but Fleegs probably knows what's going on. You know what's going on here? Yeah. If you know Boomer, you know what's going on. He is discarding the Rangers and he's focusing on the Knicks.
I will never discard the Rangers.
Not your fandom, but this year you're now saying, hey, you know what? We stink. We don't have a shot. Now I'm going to move my attention to the good team in the Garden. That's what's going on here.
I've been paying attention to the Knicks. Of course I have been.
I know you've been paying attention, but just a little bit more.
I will tell you this. If there's a Ranger game and a Knick game on at the same time, I'm watching the Ranger game. No matter what.
You're starting
situation.
To transition, though.
I'm not transitioning to anything.
You're starting to transition.
Hey, Al, don't be shaking your head like you're agreeing with him.
He's transitioning.
Right, we're starting to see some clothes in your closets a little. You're transitioning.
I don't think I'm transitioning to anything.
Well, I'll tell you, this is the first time I can remember that you did a sharp turn from football to the Knicks in the Open. It's usually a sharp turn from football to the Rangers.
No, I had to because last night was important.
Last night was an important game against
Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. Okay. I wanted to see that.
It's okay. You're allowed to come on over.
You got to stop accusing me of something that's not happening.
I'm telling you, I was like, oh, you know, another thing that was going to happen. I was like, oh, here we go with Kako and the Kraken. I thought you were going to go back to that. And you went Carl Anthony Towns. I was like, oh, what do we got here?
You know, Kako and the Kraken are in the rearview mirror.
So are the Rangers this year because we got the Knicks now. That's what's going on. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, when I talk about being activated as a Vikings fan, like you're getting activated as a Knicks fan. You are.
I have been activated since last year. Yeah. And brought in Jalen Brunson, or was that two? That was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they finally started making some of the right decisions. And legitimately, Carl Anthony Towns could be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah. I mean, he played.
He's ridiculous.
He's played that well.
Last night, he didn't miss a three-point attempt. He was 5 for 5 last night.
He went back home and showed up and showed out.
I think the Knicks should play all their games up there.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot like that.
Man, I'm telling you, if it weren't for the Knicks, I mean, I'd be just about with everybody else and not paying attention to the NBA. But since they're good and since they have a shot, like I'm into them. I couldn't sit there. Like, I won't sit there and watch any out-of-market basketball games. But
they're unwatchable.
Exactly. But when your team's good, this is the whole point about every time we talk about these commissioners and trying to tweak the game and in the NBA Cup and blah, 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 and the golden at-bat rule. The thing that gets people to the TVs is your local market having a chance. And sometimes that waters down the whole product, like the parity in the NFL, and you feel like maybe there isn't a great team like there used to be, but there's a lot more teams that have a chance.
You know what I think they should do? I think they should remove the three-point line.
Oh, here we go.
For the first three. What do you mean, here we go?
You need rule changes now? You're doing that?
Three-point line for the first three quarters of the game, and then reinstate it in the fourth quarter. How's that?
Yeah, I was thinking about getting rid of the backboard. What do you think about that? Just totally get rid of the backboard.
I mean, a three-point shot has ruined the game. And I can't tell you how many guys I've listened to in interviews talking about how the analytics guy, it's not even a coach, an analytics guy comes up to a guy in practice and says, you just got to keep shooting those threes. You just got to keep shooting those threes. Don't back off those threes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, it's maddening.
It's like the home run in baseball and the uppercut swing and launch angle and all of that stuff. It's the same thing.
I don't know if it's the same thing. I kind of feel like, you know, the batter has got to hit the pitch. And there's another person involved. These guys come down, nobody's playing defense, and they're just hoisting up threes.
Well, it's the same thing in the sense from the analytics standpoint where people are like, listen, the home run, we got to get the home run. You know, you get that ball out, and that changes everything. And when we hit X amount of home runs, we win X amount of games, so change your swing so you have a better chance of hitting a home run. Analytics people in basketball.
Are you okay?
I had to burp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm good now.
All right.
They're like, hey, three-pointers. Three's more than two. You make a bunch of threes, we win games.
I know.
That's what happens.
It's brutal, man.
Yeah, it is brutal. But you're with the Knicks now.
I am, because you're they're right winning.
There. Yep, because they're winning.
And Carl Anthony like Towns actually didn't miss any three-point shots.
No, he did not. As you pointed out, it's been fun. It's been in any, like, fears that anybody had as Knicks fans, he was going to come in here and change the attitude of the team, or, you know, the softness label that he had been labeled with for a very long time. We've seen none of that so far. None of it. So it's a great thing.
I think it's a fantastic thing that we legitimately have. I mean, you know, he and OG and Brunson are supposed to be difference makers, and all three are.
Yeah.
I mean, all three are. They're all paid to be difference makers.
Yeah, and good thing, because we won't have the Rangers in the playoffs. We'll be able to talk about the Knicks in the spring.
All right, so we got about 50 games left to go. I mean, like, I think you just need to calm down. I mean, I'm upset.
I mean, nobody is torpedoing their way to the bottom of the standings like the New York Rangers are.
I am as upset as any other Ranger fan out there about what the hell we have witnessed over the last 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's a million reasons why this happened. And, you know, there's one person who controls the entire franchise. That's the general manager, who may be being told what to do by the ownership of the Garden again. I don't know. But, you know, this thing has been mismanaged into like an oblivion right now.
Yeah. So when they're out, you'll have the Knicks, which is good. Because many years when the Rangers were down, you didn't have the Knicks. You know, and now you have the Knicks when they're missing the playoffs.
I had season tickets when, you know, I got the letter. We're trading this one. We're trading that one. We're moving on. And
yeah,
all of those guys that we traded went on to win Stanley Cups.
You know, Maggie Gray came into my office this morning. She does Maggie and Pearl off on the Infinity Sports Network. And she came in with a little thing.
It's actually right here. Like a
biscottis.
A bag of biscottis.
Yeah, I've already had four of them.
Yeah, I've had four of these things?
I've already had four of them.
Are they homemade?
Yeah, I think they are.
She said to me, I've been accused of only kissing Boomer's ass, so I wanted to give you this as well.
She said that?
She said exactly that.
Well, who was accusing her of that?
I don't know.
I'm not accusing her of that.
No.
I've never heard that.
Well, she has heard it, apparently. I mean, She said,
"Can we
been...
get her in here and find out exactly what she's talking about and where she's heard that
she's
from?"
She's doing her own show.
Yeah, but you can't accuse.
She said that she's been accused of only kissing your ass, and I felt like I thought it was funny and I laughed, but then I was also like, so I'm getting cookies to help your reputation. You're not even actually giving them to me out of the goodness of your own heart. I'm just getting cookies to boost up your value in the eyes of others.
Now, is like Amy gives me cookies.
Yeah. Huh?
Amy gives me cookies.
Or does she? Yeah, Fleegs was telling me selfish. This is selfish on Amy's part. I mean, Maggie's part. See, yeah, Amy gives you cookies. I don't get cookies from Amy. I don't get anything. I don't even get a hello from Amy.
I get Urukaka cookies. I get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you do. But so those people that are giving you those things, you know, they might be getting accused in their own circles of only kissing your ass. And
yeah,
Maggie had enough
of
it.
That is ridiculous.
Maggie had had enough.
I don't take it as that, just so you know. I'm very appreciative of the gift and the thought behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not.
I don't think about, what does she gain by kissing my ass?
You know, if anything, like, there's a perceived power at the radio station and in the building.
Guys, that is this horse. You know what I'm saying? Just total horse.
Well, I'm just saying that's what they're thinking. Like, hey, if anything goes down, maybe I'll be on Boomer's good side.
Yeah, but Boomer doesn't control anything. You guys are acting like I'm Aaron Rodgers running around here.
I'm not acting like it. I'm just saying she, obviously, it's in people's heads. The Amy and Maggie and others.
No, you know what it is? It's just like they're all nice people, and they like to do nice things, and I seem to be the bearer of those things, and I'm
more
very,
than
very fortunate.
More than others.
Well, whatever. I mean, it sounds like you're jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. The only thing that I'm upset about was the fact that she only gave me cookies to help her perception. I didn't like that. I would have liked the cookies. Hey, I wanted to give you cookies.
Did you tell her that?
I didn't, because in the moment I was laughing at her joke, and then as she left, I began to process. And I said, wait a second. This is not good. I'm being used here. I'm being used like the Yamamoto's agent used Steve Cohen last offseason.
Well, if you're being used, at least you got something out of it.
I did. And they're good biscotti?
Yes, they're very good.
What are the red ones? Is that red dye? Can't have red dye. Is that red dye 40 in here?
I don't know what the red dye is.
Did you have a red one?
I did not have a red one. I had the other ones, the clear ones or the white ones.
The clear ones. The clear ones with the, is there walnuts in those? I don't know.
I'm just telling you, man, get yourself a cup of coffee, dip yourself a biscotti, and be a happy person.
That.
Shut
that.
The hell up.
I already did that. And not with the biscotti, but another cookie.
Be happy that it's holiday time.
I've been dipping lots of cookies and coffees, lots of breads and sauces. It's eating season. That's what I do.
I know it is.
I'm going to sop up this liquid with this carb, and we're going to have a great time tonight. That's what's been going on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I meant to talk to you about this before the show, Jerry, but it just popped back in my head. I know you don't feel the same way about this man that I do, but did you see Brett claim another victim or hear Brett claim another victim this morning?
Yeah, I did.
So Brett added to his body count this morning. Brett from Long Island, he added Roscona onto that.
Well, Brian did a good job of shouting him down.
I mean, but yes, it's just so funny. He gets everybody so mad, like legitimately pissed off.
Because he comes on and just insults people.
I know, but it's just so funny because, and you know what was great about this is, like, Brian didn't know the whole Brett thing.
I know.
So, like,
how could he not know the Brett thing? I mean, if he's a part of the radio station, he should know about the Brett
thing. Yeah, because it's in the middle of the night a lot of times, okay. And Roscona's not always listening the overnights. He's sleeping, you know? So he didn't know Brett, so he just goes to the call thinking, like, hey, it's just some guy who wants to talk about the Giants. Then Brett comes on doing his thing, and then it just immediately blew up. And Fleegs wasn't there to help because he was working with us today for Eddie. And it was just, I mean, I'm telling you, he's like sports talk radio's Rex Heuerman. Like, they just oh, another boy. Body being found every day that they're linking him to. Yeah, it's incredible. It's and then I texted Roscona, and Roscona could not let it go. Like, he for 45 minutes, he kept, like, bringing him up, calling him a loser, wanted to go fight him. He's like, well, find out where you live. I'm serious. He goes, I got nothing to lose in my life.
Is this Roscona saying
this? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was totally unhinged.
I would say Roscona was shot out of a cannon this morning. And I was driving in. I thought he was on cocaine.
Yeah. I mean, from what I heard with him and Brett, it was insane. But it was just, I cannot get enough of it. Like, that, like, all these guys that are so nice, and like that Al Citron, that he does that, he flipped out. He was like, you D-bag, son of a bitch. He's screaming at him. It's so good.
Well, that makes great radio overnight, right?
Oh, my goodness. It is just, yeah. And some guy called up after this guy. I've been listening to the station. He goes, I've been listening to the station for 35 years. And when you say everybody hates Brett, it reminds me of the scene in Private Parts where people go, you know, there's more people that hate Howard Stern but have to listen to what he has to say. Like, that's how people feel about Brett. Like, they hate his guts, but they just want to see how ridiculous he's going to be, how much he's going to insult the host, and how stupid his takes are going to be.
It happens with other callers, too. Like, there will be times where they call in before, hey, has Brett been on today? Like, after a big Giants loss, or if C-Mac has a really passionate Giants take, just, hey, has Brett gotten on to talk about this yet? They call after. Some love him. Some most can't stand him.
Now, in
he's
fairness,
a lightning
with
rod
the Brett
with
thing, with the C-Mac thing,
yeah.
That has been an ongoing
sure.
with the whole tank, lose, he's a fan. So that's been going on since mid-season.
Oh, and yeah, those guys are like, you know, all right, Brett got this round, C-Mac got
absolutely.
That round. And But my favorite is when Brett comes in with fresh meat. Like, and then it, like, he got Zoo, he got Al, he got Roscona, he gets everybody.
The only person he didn't get was Boomer when we tried it on this show.
Because he knew. Because that, like, also, he probably, if Boomer were here, didn't know anything about Brett, he might have lost it because Brett's so good. Like, he gets everybody. But yeah, it was like, oh, here comes Brett. Here he comes. He's going to insult us. And we kind of knew we had our shield up. But man, what a prick. He really is. He is
he's a proud prick.
He is a world-class prick.
Yeah, well.
And it's funny to watch. It's great to listen to. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. You had the week in the NFL starting last night.
Motion from Davis. Herbert looking. Pumps. Takes off to his left. Throws left toward the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Chargers! Darius Davis up the left sideline. Hit in stride.
And that was the go-ahead score, and the Chargers wind up winning the game. Westwood won with the call. They beat the Broncos 34-27. Justin Herbert, 284 on the night, couple of touchdowns. Here was Jim Harbaugh, just a terrific game.
Total team effort by everybody, defense, offense, special teams, you know, the guys, you know, just pull it down. It was phenomenal.
Did you catch Harbaugh with Larry David before
I did
the game?
See that on, I saw that on X before the game. It was interesting. Those two guys, I'd love to have been listening to that conversation.
Harbaugh's an interesting guy.
Both those guys are very interesting
guys.
Well,
we know about Larry David, but Harbaugh's just weird. And so is Larry David, of course, but very cool.
It was interesting watching this game because in the first half, you would think there was no way the Chargers were going to win this game. They could not stop the Broncos for anything.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was great.
How about the fact he was 29 of 40, 263, two touchdowns, no picks, and they lose?
I'll tell you what, man. He's right there with Jaden Daniels for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'll tell you that.
That's the worst the Broncos' defense has looked all year.
Exactly. And, you know, the one thing I will say about this particular game was that when you get flexed into a Thursday, man, it's like it's miserable. Hmm. Like I could imagine a lot of these players were just not very happy about that.
Yeah. Here's Sean Payton. Like, so you guys were talking about the sequence at the end of the second quarter with the free kick and everything. Here was Sean Payton, the way his team handled that that final minute of the second.
Look, I think 40, 41 seconds to start the drive. You know, we'll try to see. Typically, you'd be pretty conservative. We're going to have the ball. We ran a screen. Then when the clock got low enough, you know, there wasn't, you know, we didn't get any momentum going there. We just ran the ball and punted
it. And then you punt it, you get the penalty and the free kick, and it was good. And so the Broncos now 9-6, like the Chargers are now 9-6. The Chiefs play the Texans tomorrow. Here was Andy Reid giving us the update on his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
No, the questions are about Patrick. He worked out this week full, and we'll most likely end up playing. We'll just see how things work out today.
He's playing. I got to find this audio, or Jerry, if you need something.
What do you got? I need something today. Yesterday was an orgy of audio. Today's nothing.
John Gruden,
yeah,
on with the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, talking about his rivalry that he had on Mike Holmgren's staff with Andy Reid.
Absolutely great. How they called plays and everything.
Oh, my God. It's so good. The stories about how they would each, as young assistants, would draw up certain plays, and if their plays got used in the game, like how they would like crow at each other, and just the way Gruden tells it is phenomenal.
It's perfect. Right. You know, did you see Gruden actually trying to explain to those guys over there, all right, here's a formation, this is what we're doing, here's the call. Did you see that?
I didn't see that part of it, no.
Oh, it's hilarious. Be like me sitting in front of a whiteboard with you guys.
Oh, okay.
Trying to explain, okay, this is where you line up when I call the play. This is what the protection is. This is what we do. This is how you line up. It was hilarious just watching that group of whoever those, you know, Barstool folks were watching him.
But isn't that the frustration, too? And I'm part of this as well, obviously. Isn't that the frustration, too, when these guys get criticized by guys like, not you, us?
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't know what in the hell you're talking about. And yet,
yeah, but you can see, I will never, like, every fan should have an opinion. They love their
teams. I didn't say you can have an opinion.
And
we don't know.
I know. There's a lot of things that happen, especially in a football game or a hockey game for that matter, because the game is moving so fast. But people and fans that are passionate about their teams, I mean, like, you could learn a lot from a lot of fans because they know what player's playing well, what player's not playing well. I mean, we are invested as fans, so I'm on both sides of it. So I've always respected, even when the fan didn't like me, you know, I understood why.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were one of the few that got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of the passion of the sport, which is what I love. But watching him draw up the plays brought me back to when I was a rookie and I got the playbook, and they handed it to me, and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be
oh my gosh,
this is going to be something else, because that was that whole West Coast offense, no huddle, code words, everything else, and it takes a while to figure it out. And as he is teaching them this, I'm laughing at the response from the Barstool guys that, okay, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, all right, I got it. Be like talking to Al. Al, you're the ex receiver. You go opposite of the formation call, okay?
So down and out.
And you make sure that you're on the line of scrimmage, okay?
Run to the Chevy and make a left. All right, let's get to your Knicks last night. They were in Minnesota, and that meant that Karl Anthony Towns was back, and he did put on a show.
This 34-point lead, largest of the game. Towns with the finish, little sidestep. A 30-point, 18-rebound game for Karl Anthony Towns. And a 36-point lead.
That was Mike Breen on MSG. Well, how about better than that? 32-20. He was 10 of 12 from the floor, 5 of 5 from 3. And the Knicks beat the T-Wolves 133-107. Here was Tom Thibodeau on Towns' return.
Cat is you know, his experience has really helped him. He's highly organized. So coming in, I thought, you know, the way he was in the morning, he came in early in the morning, he went through a great concentration, got here early tonight, so he handled all the stuff, he knew what it would be.
And he certainly performed as such. Here he was on MSG with Breen saying, I just played my game, despite the fact that others wanted me maybe to do a little bit more.
I know everybody in the building, my family included, wanted me to get ultra aggressive and, you know, let my emotions take over and let the moment take over, and you just start shooting some shots that is not in the flow of the offense. First quarter, I was just being tremendously patient and getting the flow going in our offense, moving the ball, passing.
And passing to
that sound refreshing.
Oh, really does.
That is a lot refreshing. Of moving.
The ball ain't sticking.
What?
Unselfish.
The ball ain't sticking.
Oh, yeah. Ain't sticking right.
Mikal Bridges had 29. The Knicks are 17-10. All right, I ask you, what are the Nets doing? Why are we winning games?
Yeah.
I was saying to you the other day. They beat the Raptors last night, 101-94. They outscored Toronto 31-18 in the fourth. Cam Johnson doesn't want to hear about not winning games. He had 33 points and 10 rebounds.
That's a ball hog.
he's not a ball. Ben Simmons, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. How about that? RJ Barrett did not play because he was sick. In a game that is very much 2024 NBA-like, the Grizzlies beat the Warriors by the score of 144-93.
To protect the rim beautifully, Laravia, left wing three, back the other way, bring it up, put three on the board. The Grizzlies right now are just beating the Warriors up and down the floor. They're more physical, they're faster, and they are shooting the lights out here early
27 on. 27 of 48 from three-point range. That's a hell of a percentage.
Yeah, so, it's a shooting contest, I guess. I don't know. You like it.
I didn't say I like it. I just said 27 of 48 is pretty damn. When they go in, it's not so bad. It's when they go 5 of 32, and it's crap. Like that Cup game the other night. The Thunder were,
yeah,
I think, 5
no
of 30
flow
something.
To the game, Jerry.
None whatsoever. And the Spurs beat the Hawks in overtime, 133-126. Victor Wembanyama had 42. Tonight you've got St. John's on the road at Providence. The Yankees introduced Cody Bellinger on Thursday. So, what excites you about being a Yankee?
Everything, organization, and in the clubhouse. And, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to get to work. And, I'm excited to, you know, play baseball and play how I want to play.
And no, I do not know if they asked him about his wife. I can't imagine.
No. There's no way they did.
Unless Peter Schwartz was there doing it. I don't think anyone did. So what is the plan? Outfield, first base, what are we thinking?
You know, I just like to work at it and, you know, get my footwork down and, just kind of get prepared that way. But yeah, wherever they need me, I'm available.
And I see the Mets apparently have had conversations with this Japanese pitcher, so
yes,
there's still a lot going on.
Conversations.
Yep, yeah. And a lot
of
still to happen.
How'd the Devils do last night?
The Devils did not do well.
Works it behind the net. Hamilton turns it over. Cross-ice pass. Oh, it deflects. They score. It went off of Voronkov, off of Allen, and went right to a Columbus player, Sean Monahan. It's 3-0.
Yes, and that would be the deciding goal. The Devils came back with a couple of goals in the third, but not enough as they lose to Columbus by the score of 4-2. And the Rangers back in action tonight. Everything going on
by the Stars
as they are in Dallas to take on the Stars.
All right, thank you.
Matt Rempe in the lineup, maybe.
Yes.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. All right, so I've talked about this guy a lot. It all started with Sal when Sal was doing the overnights and Brett from Long Island would call up and they would argue about the Giants, and then Sal had one of the great lines where he goes, Brett, don't call anymore. Actually, don't listen anymore. And it was just, that's when Brett got on the map for me. And then, you know, they would go back and forth, and C-Mac starts, and then C-Mac goes through the whole Brett initiation. And the guy, he's a big Giant fan. He just sucks all the air out of wherever he is. He's talked about how he loses friends because he's so stubborn with his football takes. But he's got, in my opinion, just being around this business for a long time, he's got a gift in the sense that he can rile up anybody at any point. And it is real. Like, it is real emotion. Like, I heard Big Zoo, who you would think would have like a big personality on the air, but he's very like laid back when he's on the air. Brett called up and said something to Big Zoo. Big Zoo was screaming at him, like screaming. How dare you put words in my mouth? How dare you put words? And like screaming at him. So then this Al Citron, who's a great guy, he's doing a fun, loving show, whatever. He's happy. He's talking about this, talking about that. Brett comes in. He's like, hey, he's like, happy holidays. I don't know if you're going to see your family or not because you're probably working Christmas. That's the only time they give you shifts. And then he goes, just going right after him. He's like, oh, yeah, Brett, you're a loser, you're a schmuck, everything. So then he's all pissed off. So here comes Riscona, who gets a call, I guess, like 5 hours before the shift starts, saying that we need somebody to come in and fill in. Now, Riscona's not familiar with Brett, all right? So I thought he might have been. He's not familiar with Brett, so this is his first experience. I mean, and it takes 4 seconds for Riscona to completely lose his stuff on Brett. From Long Island.
Let's go to Brett. Brett's in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
All right, stop talking. Take a breath, man. I know you got to fill time, but nobody cares about your stupid couch. Tony Gwynn could definitely...
Very nice. You're a nice guy.
One.
Brett, you're a very nice guy. Hey, Brett, no, Brett! Brett, you're a nice guy.
Oh, it's making me sick.
Oh, so why are you calling me then? Why the hell are you calling me? Why are you calling?
Brett. I'm getting on your garbage. That's why I'm calling you.
Brett, honestly, why are you calling me then?
What do you mean? Because I listen to the radio. I listen to Chris.
You hate me. You hate me. So you're calling me.
I don't hate you.
Oh, wow. You said everything I said. You said everything I said is nonsense. Nobody cares about your couch.
Who is this guy on the radio? He's terrible. I just got a text. I said, all right, I'm calling, man. I've been listening. Like, what do you want from me? What's your name, Brian?
I don't want anything from you. I want to know why you're calling me. That's all I want from you. Why are you calling me?
I just answered you. I don't like your content.
I don't like you either, Brett. I don't like you either, pal.
If I like somebody's calling about content, I say, hey
Brett, what the hell is your problem? Brett, I want to ask you one question. What the hell is your problem? What is your problem?
I don't have a problem. I'm voicing my opinion. You don't like
what opinion? You don't like me. That's your opinion.
Like
give me something relevant, dude.
Bro. Just be nice and you'll be happy.
Give me something relevant.
My opinion.
What do you want to say? What is your opinion?
Can hit more home runs, obviously, and with hardest production to be a great hitter for starters. You know
you're
that.
Upset about Tony Gwynn. Is that what you?
Who cares? And the Giants and Jets, whose future's better? The Jets haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years. You know you want their owner gone. The quarterback's almost 50. Stop. You know that. I don't understand your takes, man.
Are you done?
Your takes.
Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good. See you later, Brett. Loser. 888-808-10. Brett's a loser. Is that the Brett? Is that the Brett guy? He's such a... Goodness. I really... That guy... What a loser. Why are you calling me? Brett, you're a loser.
Oh, boy.
You are a loser. You call up at the tail end of radio shows in the overnight because you could get on and be a straight schmuck. End of story. You are a loser, pal. Give me something relevant. I mean, you are a loser. And you know what? We hang our hats around here and give you airtime and play your audio. You're a schmuck. 888-808-1019. You really are. You make me want to throw up. 888-808-1019. Number to dial. Got you for the next 22 minutes. Brett, you suck. See you in 2 minutes on the fan.
You know, and I got to work with Riscona this morning after this show for kickoff with Valenti.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's going to be in a great mood.
It is just amazing. And Riscona, so I started texting him, like, trying to calm him down. Like, listen, man, it's not a big deal. This guy does to everybody. And he still was, like, so pissed off. And then later when another guy called, Riscona was like, yeah, I will fight this guy. I'll find out where he is on Long Island. I live on Long Island. He's like, I got nothing to lose in my life right
now. What is going on?
I was like, whoa! But there's a couple of things in there that are just amazing. Like, just knowing Brett's style, where he goes, what's your name? What's your name? Brian or something? Who are you? What's your name? Brian? Like, he does that with people where they get mad. Like, you're supposed to know the host. You're supposed to know who I am. I'm saying, well, I'm on the air. The other thing that is amazing is that Brett feels the need now. It's almost like his friends put up a bat signal for him to call in. Where he's like, I just got a text from my buddy saying, who's this guy on the radio? He's horrible. And Brett's like, all right, I'm calling in. Like, you know, like he's getting all these texts like, you got to set the record straight here. Like, you got to call up and you got to get after this guy. So then Brett does that. And I mean, Raskona took that bait like a tuna, you know.
he actually knew who he was. Like,
he finally
figured out, said, is this that Brett guy?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that is that's intense.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And he, like, and there's so many things. Like, he talks over you. His tone of voice is really irritating. He doesn't listen to what you're actually saying.
I mean, let me ask you a question.
And all of that drives people so crazy.
So we here in the studio have the ability to put the guy on hold.
Yeah.
When he's yakking like that, just throw him on hold.
Yeah, because then you get people just screaming over each other. Yeah, it doesn't make anything.
Exactly, I don't know why the guys just don't put him on hold and just tell him, shut up, I'm putting you on hold.
Yeah.
And then say what you got to say. And then when you probably bring him back on, he's probably still yelling.
we had a long conversation, me and C-Mac, at the Islander game that night about Brett. And, like, how I think he's mishandling Brett. Like, how he's been given, like, a Lamborghini, and he's just driving to the deli with it. You know? And we had this long conversation. And,
Did he get what you were talking
about? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, even good. So much so, like, the next call, he's like, hey, I tried this today. What'd you think? And I was like, yeah, no, it's pretty good.
All right, good. Enjoying
it. Now, Fleegs, you screen his calls every morning. Do you get into it with him?
No, like I tried years ago, he would try, and I notice when I train people now, he tries to do it anytime he hears another voice. Like, he's like the Buchanan guy. When he hears somebody else on the other end of the phone, he wants to go against whoever's screaming the calls.
Yeah, just licking his chops like fresh meat.
Yeah, like when I first started doing overnights with Tony, he tried, and I was like, dude, I'm here 5 days a week. We can't do this.
It's just great. And he, like, relatively, he came out of nowhere, kind of, right? I mean, it was, he wasn't a regular caller.
He used to call sporadically, but he wasn't really this confrontational with anybody, making it personal until Sal. He would always go at people on their football takes.
Yeah.
He did that with JJ. He did that with Tony as much as you really could with how nice of a guy Tony is. But it really, he amped it up with Sal.
Oh, yeah. And he is now branched out to insulting the other callers that call up and get on him. Like Bernadette from Oceanside made some crack about how she's in a quilt group or something. It was some other guy that he said he hoped he jumped out a window. It's just like, it's out of control.
Yeah, he called up the next day and said, Bernadette, like, stick to knitting or whatever. Bernadette calls, like, she laughs about it. She's very level-headed. Like, callers love how they even get a rise out of Brett.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is something else. I have a big, like, I got an idea with him that I really want to execute in the new year. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off or not, but if I do, it would be fantastic. But I don't even want it. It's like, he's one of those guys, though, so you probably want to keep it at arm's length.
I would think so. I would think that you're asking.
He's got a family, too. He's got kids, right? He's always like, yeah, he's like, I was at my daughter's parent-teacher conference or something. I'm like, oh, my God.
He has kids, and he likes to tell C-Mac how to parent his kids.
I'm sorry, man. Maybe I'm just at that point. Because guys like that would get me all the time when I was younger in business. And maybe it's because I'm at this point, I can appreciate it.
I would think the interactions with Sal had to be epic.
Oh, God, it was great.
And then, of course, I would think he probably had a few interactions with Moose.
No. It was Brett was post-Moose.
I was, okay.
Yeah, post-Moose. Oh, yeah, him and Sal, like, you know, it was like the World War II, like, you know, the planes when they're going at each other.
Sal, you're the king of the fans.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did say that.
Yeah, you know, you're the best. Sal, you're number one. You've been right the whole year.
Oh, it was amazing, those two guys.